And Lord, you are wonderful. There's no doubt about that. And Lord, I'm nothing. You're everything. Lord, when I stand here and think of, though I was not very old, I remember the pressure and the weight of that night so long ago when you born me into your family, saved me. I remember the relief and the knowledge, Lord, that you come into my life. I'll never forget that night. Oh, I'll never forget that night when I had peace in my heart that I didn't have before. And Lord, you're so good, and you've been so good since then. That's been a long time ago. But Lord, you've been good. You've showed me peace this week. You showed me peace last night. You showed me peace this morning. And you're all in all, and I praise you, and I adore you this morning, and I ask you to help us just now. Lord, cleanse me, help me to be what I need to be. Lord, give me power to preach. May you bless your word. It's your word. It's not mine. It's your word. May you bless your word, and may we go from here encouraged. May we go from here knowing you, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. Look in Isaiah just for a moment, just to give you a kicker verse this morning. I believe the greatest needs that there is, the greatest needs in the world, is that people need to know God. That sign on the wall back there, people need the Lord, that's not plain enough. That's plain, but it goes, people need the Lord. But the problem is people don't know the Lord. They know religion, they know church, they know religious people, but they don't know God. The world don't know God. They know maybe little God, but they don't know God. And that's the biggest need in the world. Then there's a large need in the church, and it's the same need. It's amazing. It's the same need. We got people that saved and don't know up from down, not being critical, not being demeaning, but you don't know nothing. You get saved, and can I say this? We're living in a day where there's not a lot of readers anymore. People don't read. People don't know. What they do read is other man's thoughts instead of God's thought. And other man's thoughts will be, you'll be as confused as they are. And there are some good writers. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm just saying we're living in a generation of we're not readers. All right. In fact, we're not even living in a generation now where they have bookshelves in homes and have books. We got everything electronic, and we don't even... people even quit carrying their Bibles. Some people don't carry their Bible because they don't want to, and some don't because they got an electronic Bible. All right? And I believe you ought to come to church with your Bible that you might know God. I believe you ought to read your Bible at home that you might know God. I believe you ought to read your Bible at church that you might know God. And I believe there's a problem in the world that we don't know God. And there's a problem in the church that we don't know God. And then we got us that are saved. We come to church. We're saved. We might even carry our Bible. We might even read our Bible. But we're still missing out on who God is or what God is to us. And we don't use Him. I don't mean that degrading, but we don't use Him for what He saved us for, and we're not usable, and we don't trust Him. We don't depend on Him. He's the last resort, not the first resort. He's the last person we go to, not the first person we go to. He's the last person that we depend on to supply our needs after we've exhausted all of our efforts and we've went to the store and ground around and looking for money in the couch and trying to find the money for groceries. Then we go, if we don't have enough, then we go to God. He ought to be the first one we go to. And it's because we don't know God. We don't know who He is. We know there is a God. I trusted Him, yeah. But we don't know about God. And I believe this morning we need to understand maybe a little bit more about God. And Isaiah 45, verse 5. We're going to read verse 5, 5 and 6 maybe. It says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I need you, you need to know that. You need to know that there's nothing else. There's nobody else. You don't need nobody else than the Lord. You don't need nobody but the Lord. If everybody is gone, and you got the Lord, you've got all that you need. If you have no friends, if you have no family, if you have no money, if you have no house, if you have no car, if you're out without no clothes underneath a rock cliff trying to stay out of the rain, and you've got God, you've got all that you need. But we don't believe that. If we do, we don't live like it. Because we panic, we fret, we weary, but He's all I need. God is enough. If I can this morning and tonight, I want to preach to you with that thought that God is enough. And I want you to know He is enough. He's enough. He's enough. There's things that come upon us that we can't change, we can't fix, but God is enough. Let me tell you, real quick here. Monday evening, this past Monday evening, Mommy calls, says, "Get over here, I gotta go to the hospital." Me and Cheryl go over, she says, "I can't ride in the car, call an ambulance." We call an ambulance, we take her to the hospital, up here, to Summersville, to the hospital, and the doctor comes in, shakes his head, goes out, comes in, said, "We got to do a CAT scan." I called a surgeon. She's had a blockage. Things are not good. Mommy said, "I don't want no surgery." And I say, "Well," he said, "you need it." Well, come back in. Everything gets real, real tense, real quick. Mommy's pain is extremely bad because her bowels are getting ready to rupture, and a very bad situation. Well, what can I do? I'm not a doctor. The doctors, they didn't know if they could do anything. So what do I need? What do I need? Who do I call? Who's there to call? You said, "Well, you didn't call the prayer chain." I couldn't call you. It was too late. So who's enough? God was enough. So I had to talk to God. Now, He wasn't my last resort. Mommy looks at me and says, "Mark, what do I do?" I said, "Mommy, they just now told you you're going to die if you don't have the surgery. I think we ought to trust the Lord. If you die on the operating table, then you'll see Jesus. If not, we'll see you when you get out in recovery." That's what I tell Mom. All right, you say, "That's pretty cold." Well, what else could I say? But I found out that God was enough. Now, Mommy's still serious up here in ICU. She's still serious. I don't know where she'll make it or not. I don't know. But it don't matter. Because God's enough. See, I can't lose my Mommy. Because she's safe too. You don't lose something when you know where it's going or where it's at. You don't lose nothing. But my point is this. God is enough in every situation. He's good enough. This is the anniversary of my stroke. In 2019, I had the stroke on March the 1st, and then I was walking on the 3rd. All right? Well, that ain't me. That's God. But I was not worried about that. Cheryl maybe not remember, but I was smiling when I got, half a smile when I got to Morgantown. But I was not concerned because God had done explained to me. It was okay. I didn't care. Y'all already know I don't care. When it comes down to go, I'm ready to go. I want y'all to know, if y'all ain't, your preacher's ready to go this morning. All right? I'll get in line. I'll bump line. If y'all want to trade place, you don't want to go, you don't think you can, you think you're scared, get back in line. I'll take your place. I don't care. Everybody understand that? But God is enough. God's enough when you're out of work. God's enough. God's enough when you're sick. God's enough when you don't have nothing. Have you ever not had nothing? Have you ever not had no gas in your tank and no food in your cabinet? It's hard to find somebody nowadays that's like it. Can I tell you, me and Cheryl could go back and they've been nothing. I've known about nothing. Nothing. No groceries. No gas. And he said, well, you should ask. I did. But I didn't ask people. Huh? God's enough. You got to learn to trust him. And he's enough. Well, how big is he? He's bigger than you think he is. He's bigger than you believe him to be. So let's just see. Can we look at some Bible this morning? Turn to Exodus chapter, we'll start in 19, go through 20, 21, 22, no, we're not. We'll start in 19, all right? We'll start in 19. I always say that. Nancy always laughs at me when I say that. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, we're just going to look in the Bible. There's going to be a lot of scripture. No. Let's look here. Now, I want you to keep in mind, God is enough. And we got to start with how big he is. We okay? The kind of God that we have. He's a big God. So let's look here in Exodus chapter 19. And we'll start at verse 17. If you hang with me, we're going to preach. Our message will be 20 verses 1, 2, and 3. But we're going to start here in 17, in chapter 19, verse 17. Everybody okay? Says that Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. I just want you to understand that's some of my job is to get you to come and meet God. We okay? As Moses did with children of Israel, and I'm not Moses, I'm not saying, I'm just telling you that what I like to bring you to the realization when you come and meet on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday, that I come and get you to meet with God right here in this room, that you meet with God in your heart, that you meet with God by your needs, by what's going on in your life, that you personally meet with God. It said, verse 18 says, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. You know how come it done all that? Because God was there. He's big. When he just walks, the mountain just shakes. When he comes through, the smoke and everything just come through, the holiness and the purity and the far and the greatness of God, because he just walking around up there on top of the mountain waiting on Moses. We still okay? It says, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered him. What does it say? By voice. Now God fixing to talk to him. You know, God will do business with you. Paul Skaggs said for years, I've shared it many times, Preacher Paul Skaggs said he's in the business to do business with anybody that means business. And can I tell you, that's about the way it is. All right? And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. See, the Lord had told them, when they come to Mount Sinai, not to touch it, not to go up on the mountain. Moses was the one who was loud up there. But not the rest of them. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Now, I want to show you them first few verses there to show you the greatness of God, the holiness of God, the purity of God, the word of God. Is everybody still with me? Now, this is the God that we serve. I'm not serving a graven image. I'm not serving a cross, a wooden cross. Okay? I'm serving God. God. The God. There is none else. All right? Now, let's start at chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying. Now, God spake all these words, saying. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father, thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. I'll stop right there. Well, let's read 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Now, that wasn't because they trusted Moses. It's because they were scared of God. All right? They seen man. He's big. He's big. And Moses said unto the people, what did he say? Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Now, that's a lot of reading. I know that more than I normally would. But I want you to think about something. The God is enough. Now, how big is he? Well, he's big enough to take care of everything. I want you to understand, I'm not going to trust a God that can't take care of that. Tonight, if you'll come back, we'll just see how sufficient he is. All right? But you'll have to come back tonight to see it and hear it. All right? But right now, I want you to think about this God himself. We okay? Now, when I read this, everybody says, well, you're reading the Ten Commandments and all of that. Well, can I tell you that there's a lot involved in this? Can I give you some quick things real quick? When I read this scripture, then what I see, it reveals my sin to start with. I'll get back to the message here in a minute. Everybody still with me? Talk to me if you're with me. All right. When I read this and I read about all these thou shalt nots and all this stuff about God and no other God, I already have my sin revealed in my mind and my heart of the things I shouldn't be doing, the things I ought to be doing. And can I tell you that the Word of God will reveal my sin? And when I read that, then it reveals the grace that I need, because when I read all that, I see I can't do it. And I got to have help. I've got to have grace. I've got to have God. Because I can't. See, when I realize that I can't, then God will become enough. Everybody understand that? When I realize that I can't do nothing, I'll realize God can, and I can depend on God. And people need to understand, you can trust God. You can trust God for little things. You trust God for big things. We can trust God to find a car key. We can trust God to find a lost soul. We can trust God, period. For everything. When I read his word and read this and see the greatness and his laws and his rules, and I see, it reveals to me my need of a savior. It's not just grace. I need a savior. I'm going to have somebody stand between me and God. I'm going to have a mediator. I'm going to have somebody that talks on my behalf, because I'm going to have to bow my head. I can't talk to God like that. You understand? I can't come in his presence. He's bigger than me. So I got to have a savior. I'm glad I got a Savior this morning that can talk to this awesome God on my behalf, and I come to him and he's enough, and he hugs me up and says, all right, let's go with it. That's the God that I have this morning. We still okay? Then I look and it reveals to me then when I read these commandments, I see it reveals to me how it'll be a living. Right? It reveals to me the basics of living. The basics of living. And I see, God, man, you're marvelous. You wrote it down a few sentences, how I can live. How I can live with one another and live with you. Man, you didn't make it complicated. You just put in 10 little things there and you do that and you get along with God. Huh? As long as you got Jesus. We still okay? I'm trying to get you to understand you can depend on it. The Bible says, well, let me ask you a question. Where is God? How far away is he? He far off, ain't he? No. The Bible says he's not a God of far off. He's at hand. Now, you understand, we're not talking about a God like we are. See, maybe the reason that we don't trust him is because we got him on our level. But you understand that, you know, Wednesday night, if you wasn't here Wednesday night, I was talking about the Word and talking about the greatness of the Word of God and everything has been. It's so funny. Did y'all notice that some of Wednesday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night and Thursdays have been running together and ain't nothing been planned. It's all been, wonder why that is, yeah, people. Wonder why that is. It must be God. But you understand how big God is. You understand. I mentioned Wednesday night that the stars that man has counted is 300 sextillion stars. That's 300, 300, and then 21 zeros after. Okay? That's a pile of zeros. That's a big, long number. All right? And that's how many stars man has saw. All right? With a telescope. And just so you know, God named all them. But then Isaiah said that the heavens are stretched out like sheets or like curtains. The galaxies are stretched out forever and ever and ever and over and over. And all of them galaxies has trillions and trillions of stars. And the God that lives in me named them. Named every star. That he's not 5'8" and 180 pounds. He sets his foot upon the earth as a footstool. The Bible said. That's the God. That with a swipe of his hand, the stars went in place. Huh? That by the words of his mouth, everything come into existence. That's the God that is dependable this morning. He's a God that's dependable. Now, is that the God you pray to? Is that the God you trust? Or do you trust a God that's no bigger than an image, than a graven image or a totem pole or some little rock or carved out stone? Do you put something on that level or is it the big God? Well, they but one, he said, I am the Lord, there is none else. I am God, there is none else. And I'm taking care of you, though you don't even know me, he said. Huh? We still okay? Well, see what kind of God he is. We'll get right on. Look at Exodus 20. Exodus 20, give you three things real quick. Verse 1, 2, and 3. All right? Give you three things here real quick. The God we have is a God who speaks. Huh? Chapter 20, verse 1 says, and God spake all these words saying. And God spake all these words saying. Moses didn't speak, and God spake all these words saying. I got a God that speaks. Now, you know, that's hard to understand because I can't sing. He's a spirit, and I must worship him in spirit and truth. But yet he speaks. Because he don't have my body. He don't have my kind of body. We're talking about big God. We're not talking about the part of God who is Jesus Christ, who is God, who put on flesh. I'm talking about God altogether. I'm talking about the big. Everybody understand me this morning. But he speaks. He don't have a body that he walks around here like this that you see, but he's so big and so vast, but then so small to live in my heart. That's my God. That's my God. Now, this is the God I can trust, that I don't have to worry. Why do we worry? We worry because we're failures. We worry because we're weak. We worry because we don't have abilities and we don't have the knowledge. That's why we worry. But we're not trusting us. We got to trust God who's like, they said, old Sergeant, you always said he's a big heap bigger than we are. Huh? And that's the God we're supposed to be serving. Think about that. He's enough. He's enough. Are you hearing me this morning? He's enough. When there's no one to turn to, it's okay. When there's no one to talk to and no one to confide in, it's okay. I can him. Because he's there. He done promised he would never leave me, never forsake me. He done promised he would never change. Hebrews 13:8 says he's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. So he's the same God that's we're talking about. Is that okay with y'all this morning? But he's the God who speaks. How does he speak? How does he speak? Well, he speaks words. He speaks words. He's the God of the Word. He's the Word of God. It's the God of the Word. He speaks words. I happen to have them right here. I happen to have his words right here in my hand. And I have his words so he can speak to me. And God spake these words. We've been trying to, and not, me and Rick has not discussed. I do not discuss Sunday school with Rick, and he does not discuss with me the messages. And we can't look ahead on our Thursday night class because you can't look ahead but just a couple days. You can't look ahead. So there's no preparation. And that teacher on Thursday night keeps telling you to trust your Bible. It's God's Word. Trust your Bible. Trust your Bible. Trust your Bible. Rick's been trying to teach us on Sunday morning that you can trust your Bible. That it's not a bunch of Bibles, but it's one Bible. It's one Word of God. You can trust it. And then before he got on that in Revelation on the Church of Philadelphia, I started teaching the inspired Word of God on Wednesday. God's trying to get us to hear his word and read his word and believe his word because he's enough. He's enough this morning. You understand that? He's enough. But he speaks with words of authority. You notice when he wrote down commandments. He didn't write down suggestions because he speaks with authority. And you know that he writes down commandments and wrote it down for us to obey. We're supposed to be obedient to what he says. We still okay? Huh? He speaks with inerrant words. Means there's no error. There's no mistakes in what he says. Well, the old time preacher said, did it ever occur to you that nothing occurs to him? Because he knows all. He is all. And all things consist. He's God. Listen, this is the God we worship. This is the God we serve. Think about that. It ought to excite us. That because of Christ and because we have a mediator can go between us, that we're allowed up on the mountain where God was and walking. We're allowed in with him to talk with him and walk with him and him and us. That's how big God is. And I'm worried about what's going to happen to America. I'm worried about how high a hamburger's going to get in the store. No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I ain't got time for that. I'm not worried about if a gallon of milk gets $20. I don't care. I'll quit drinking milk. Huh? It's no big deal. If I can't afford hamburger, I'll not eat it. I won't worry about it. I'll eat what I raise in my garden. You understand? I don't have time to worry about that. But my time ought to be given to this great, awesome, mighty, wonderful, big God that rules and reigns and lives in my heart and helps me every day, every step of the way, every minute of the day. He's God, and there is none else this morning. He's enough. He's enough. It ain't church. It ain't religion. It's God. It ain't habit. It's God. It ain't tradition. It's God. Do you understand it? Do you know God this morning? Do you know Him this morning? Huh? Do you? Do you this morning? He speaks in words of authority. He speaks in errant words. He speaks powerful words because what He says He'll do comes to pass. They're not just words. They're powerful words. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Y'all know that song? Huh? But we just sing it. Nah, just one of them old hymns. Sounds good. No, it's telling us that we can, and God's enough. His words are enough, huh? I got a God that speaks. You know that? Huh? You know Allah don't speak to nobody. Muhammad don't speak to nobody. Buddha don't speak to nobody. Huh? And they don't speak to nobody. But God does. Huh? Speaks clean words. Huh? They're clean words. Clear words. Huh? They're everything you can think about. They're not hard understood. And they're pure words. Clean words. Huh? And then He speaks sufficient words. Did you know that? Did you know? You come back tonight, we'll tell you how much He supplies your need. But you gotta come back tonight. We ain't gonna tell you today. But you come back tonight. We still okay? I'm talking about the God that speaks. But see, here's the problem. He don't have a people to listen. Let me say that again. We've got a God that speaks. But He don't have a people that listens. Huh? My favorite, probably one of my most favorite TV shows is Bugs Bunny Roadrunner. Foghorn, Leghorn, Yosemite Sam. Huh? They were my favorite. I would rather watch that as John Wayne. I like Yosemite Sam. I love Foghorn, Leghorn. You know what he's all the time saying? That, listen to me, son. I'm telling you, listen to me. Y'all know that? Slap him upside the head. Listen to me, son. I'm telling you. I say, listen to me now. God, all through His Word, says, listen to me, I say, God says, we don't pay no mind. We sit and get down, discouraged, depressed, twiddle our thumbs, go all to pieces, panic, fret, do all this stuff. And He just says, listen to me, huh? I'm God. There is none else. Huh? Listen to me. But see, I see, that's what I see in verse 1. Verse 2, y'all still okay? Yeah. Verse 2 says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I have a God that speaks words. Huh? He speaks words. I got a God that speaks words. And then I got a God that saves. Huh? That's what it says there in verse 2. I got a God that speaks words in verse 1. Chapter 20, verse 1. I got a God that saves in verse 2. Is that not what it says? For I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I got you out. You rescued me. Huh? I thank you. Huh? Thank you. He rescued me out of despair, out of bondage. That's what he does. He's the Savior, is he not, this morning? This is the Jehovah God. I am the Lord thy God. And God said, and then the Lord God said, the Jehovah God, we want to be fancy. You want all the Hebrew. Elohim in verse 1 and Jehovah in verse 2. Yeah. Okay? We all right? God, the God that speaks words to me. Huh? Let me ask you, everybody look at me. How many words does he speak to you in a week? Only the ones you read. Only the ones you read. Unless you got a tape and you're listening to it. But you okay? Let me ask you. Don't raise your hand. Don't answer. Do you hear from God every week? If you don't read it or listen to it, you're not hearing from God. That means you don't know what he's doing. That means in your life, you don't know what he's doing. When you call somebody you ain't talked to for a while, what do you normally say? What are you doing? What are you doing? Because I don't know, because I ain't talked to you. Huh? Right. You ain't told me what you're doing. You ain't told me what you're doing. So I don't know what you're doing. But yet we got time to listen to everybody else. Huh? Now, I'm going to be nice and love you and show you a little, I don't know what the right word would be. When I ask you how things going, what you doing. And I really do want to know. All right? But what you do don't affect me. Did you know that what you do does not affect me unless I let it? Are we still okay? Because you're not supplying my need. You're not supplying my need. You're not enough. Just want you to know you ain't enough. But he is. I think I'll spend a little time talking to him. Let him talk to me. I find out when I get his words, when I get them words he speaks to me, I find out that what he's a doing. So I got to God who speaks, but I got to God who saves. Now it says here, who brought me out of bondage. Can I ask you this morning, do you know this God that speaks? Do you know the God that saves? Did he set you out of bondage? Did he pick you out of bondage and free you this morning? I'm talking about the God that saved. You know, bondage, when you're in chains. Do you remember when the chains fell? Huh? Do you remember when the chains fell? Remember when he was bound? Huh? Like the maniac of Gadara, and nobody could bind you, and you run naked and crazy out of your mind, and God come in and change you, that you was in your right mind, clothed, worshiping God. Huh? When he delivered you, have you been delivered? Huh? Rescued and delivered. John stood and testified a while ago about this great God and the best thing that ever happened to him. Hey, is he still the best thing that ever happened to you this morning? When you was wretched and blind and dirty and filthy and bound and headed to hell, and he come by your way and set you up on a rock and establishes your going, puts a song in your mouth. Oh, he's enough this morning. He's enough. And this is the God that saves. This is the God that breaks oppression. Yes. He breaks oppression. Yes. Amen. We're living in dark days of satanic oppression in the church house. Huh? Can I tell you how we know God and how we view God, how we see God will determine how bright the light is in your heart. how bright the light is in the church? Yeah. Did you know that? Yeah. If you see God like He is, yeah. Years ago, ain't nobody said this to me for 30 years. But years ago, I was in revival meeting, and an older lady came up to me. She said, "Preacher, I like how you preach because you make God so big." And I thought, wow, she got it. Huh? But ain't nobody told me that for a long time. Maybe I need to make God bigger. Show you how big He is this morning. Because He's a God that speaks words. And He's a God that saves. He's the God that saves. You saved this morning. I mean plumb saved. Are you just plumb saved this morning? Huh? You know who done it? God. You know? And if God didn't do it, you ain't saved. Huh? Because there ain't nothing else. There ain't nothing else. We okay this morning? We're talking about God. We're talking about the God that speaks words. We're talking about the God that saves. You know, He delivers me from destruction. Huh? Do you realize... And I'm not throwing stones or nothing like this, so listen carefully. Here, you know, a couple years ago, we had a man who was a devout Muslim come to church, you know, come to church with a couple of weeks. Oh, y'all remember? Everybody got scared. He had a backpack. Thought he was going to blow us all up, remember? Remember that? That's because we wasn't trusting God. We was worried about all that stuff. But that's another message. But first time he came, come sit back there. He sat where Matt and Aaliyah sitting. And I went back and sat by him. And I asked him, I said, "So you are," and you know in my etiquette, I said, "So you're a Muslim." Well, I didn't know what else to say. "You're a Muslim." And he, "Yes, I'm a follower of Islam." I said, "You're a Muslim then." I said, "I've got one question for you." He said, "What's that?" I said, "What do you do with your sin? What do you do with your sin?" He said, "Pardon me?" I said, "What do you do with your sin?" He said, "Well, you know, we have to go there's a certain way we got to live." I said, "Stop right there." I said, "You need to listen carefully this morning, because I'm going to preach on the cross of Christ." And that's what I preached that morning. And I said, "Because you need to know what to do with your sin." That was my first conversation with him. Did you know that all these other gods, you know how they save? You got to do something. You've got to do. You've got to do so much. You've got to work so much. Huh? You've got to do to please them before they'll ever do anything for you. Now let me just ask you. Huh? Man. What can you do to a stone statue of Mary? How can you appease that? How can you appease a fat statue of Buddha? You can't give it nothing. They can't receive nothing. Everybody follow me? And then, if you do, they can't save you. They're what Isaiah said, I believe. They're dumb idols. That's what they are. They're dumb idols. That's what the Bible said. They're dumb idols. They can't speak. My God speaks words. Why would I want to follow a God that can't speak? Who can't help me? Who I can't even offer praise because they don't receive it. Who I can't even offer worship because they don't receive it. Who I can't even work for because they don't know I did. I think I'll stick with the God who speaks words and the God who saves me. Because I can't save myself. Huh? And then there's one more. We'll look at verse 3. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I got a God that speaks words. I got a God who saves. And I got a God who sanctifies. because he sets me apart, that there's just one. There's just one. He sets me apart. There's only one God. Now, he sets me apart even further if you read the other 14 verses. By the law, by the commandments. And you say, well, you don't go by the commandments. Well, you should. That's still Bible. It is still Bible, ain't it? It just don't save you. But it's a good way to live. It's a good way to be good to your neighbor. It's a good way to give God his time. If ain't no other gods before you. If you don't bow down to nothing else but him, that's not a bad way to live, is it? Talk to me. It's not bad to not commit adultery and not steal, not kill. That ain't a bad way to live, is it? It ain't bad to be honest and not lie. Right? That's still okay, ain't it, if we don't lie no more? Talk to me. But see, that being one God, then he sets me apart. See, when I trust him, I'm set apart from everybody else. I'm set apart, and sanctified is setting me apart. We still okay this morning? Let me tell you a little bit something about the law. Let's look in Romans chapter 7 right quick. Believe. Let's look at Romans chapter 7. Let's look at verse 12. It says, wherefore the law is what? See, when my God speaks words, and my God saves me, and my God sanctifies me with holiness. How about that? That makes sense to anybody? Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment, what's that next, what's it say? Holy. And what else is it? Just and good. See, when Christ come, there wasn't no more ceremonial, there wasn't no more priest and everything. But he didn't say quit being good. He didn't say quit being holy. He didn't say quit being honest. He didn't say quit being faithful. He didn't say to he didn't throw all that away and say, well, you can be covetous now. You can lie now. No. He didn't do it. He just reminded us, How about verse 14? For we know that the law was spiritual. But I'm carnal. I just want you to understand we're talking about being set apart a little bit. How about drop over to Romans 2? Everybody still okay with me? You understand what I'm trying to tell you this morning? Romans chapter 2, let's look here at verse 14. For when the Gentiles, that be us, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts to mean while accusing or else excusing one another. I'm just telling you that the law is still important. Commandments are still important. But I've got a God that sets me apart. Sets me apart because there's one God. I've got one God. How many gods you got this morning? You worshiping all them other gods? I'm worshiping one God. I got a God that speaks words to me. I love that. And God spake these words. These words. And I got a God who speaks words to me. And I got a God that saves. And I got a God that sanctifies. Now, let me ask you this morning. You know this God? Do you know this God? Not do you know church. Not do you know, well, my people were all Baptists. Or my people were all, I don't care what your people was. I mean, that's fine. I mean, it's not that I'm not being smart. I mean, it don't matter. I mean, rephrase it. It don't matter what your people was. It don't matter whether they was Catholic or Lutheran or Episcopalians or Presbyterians or Jehovah's Witnesses, Methodists. It don't matter. It matters not what they were. It really don't matter what you are, what label you got on your forehead. if you don't know God, then you've missed the whole boat. Huh? Do you know God? You know this God? This one God. This big God. For there's none else. You know, the one, the God who speaks words. The God who saves lives, saves souls. The God who sanctifies us and brings him behind one. One sets us apart out of the world that's got all these other gods. And sets us apart for one. Huh? This is the God that's enough this morning. The Creator God. The big God. The Lord Savior. For this is God, our Lord and Savior. The Scripture says. Huh? Do you know this one? Huh? If not, we'll try to teach you about this God. The God that is enough. Maybe tonight, by tonight's time, you'll be able to maybe trust him a little stronger. How about this morning? If you're not saved this morning, we invite you to come to Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. For God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God, this God that's enough. Do you know this God that's enough this morning? Do you? Cheryl, come to the piano. We'll sing a verse there, Teddy. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it. Wait a minute. Let's stand together and let's sing. If you're not saved this morning, won't you come to Jesus Christ today? If you're not where you ought to be as a Christian, won't you come and get right with God today? Let's sing right now.